This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is the Your Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. It's 10 o'clock on the West Coast, and it's Wednesday. Good morning, everyone. I want to say shout out to Rebel, my wonderful sound engineer who takes care of me each and every week. I want to say thank you to everybody who listens in on this show, you know, whether you listen live or whether you're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen into the show. I want to thank you very much for being part of my audience. And I also want to have a shout out to my guest this week. My guest this week is Angus Reid. Now, Angus Reid played in the Canadian Football League for 11 years. It's an amazing feat. He's a Grey Cup champion and transitioned from, you know, being a Grey Cup champion to the business world. And we're going to have a great conversation about that. But before I get into that, I want to talk to people about differentiation. You know, I had a couple conversations this week and I was doing some mentoring with some people that I work with. And people were saying, well, I'm afraid to stand out. I'm afraid to not be myself. I'm afraid that people are going to think that I'm weird because I'm not like them. And the expression is, why do you want to be like everybody else? Why do you want to be exactly the same as everybody else? If we were all the same, if we all thought the same, if we all had the same passions, the same ideas, the same thought processes, etc., what a boring world this would be. How would we ever innovate? How would new ideas ever come to the forefront if we all think the same, if we all act the same, if we all, you know, go in one straight line down the corridor and don't veer right and don't veer left? You know what? Nothing would have happened in life. You know, there would be no Facebook. There would be no Twitter. There might not have even been radio for that matter. You know, we need to take a look at our world and sit there and say, how can I make my mark? And that mark could be huge or that mark could be small. You know, not every person has to make this enormous grandeur differentiation in the world. It's those little things that make the difference. It's, you know, standing up when you're sitting down at the bus and letting somebody else sit who needs a seat more than you are. It's, you know, opening doors for people, shaking hands, it's looking people in the eye and saying, you know what? I will take care of you. It's the little things that we do that make all the difference, that get people to sit there and say, I can trust this person. I don't trust this person because they don't do the things that this person does. And we need to be authentic about it. We need to sit there and say, who are we? What are the things that are important to us? What are the things that are the hills that we stand on? What are the things we're willing to live and die for? What are the things we're great at? And what are the things we're passionate about? And live our life accordingly. You know what? It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. We don't have to all be the next, you know, unicorn company. We don't have to sit there and invent the cure for cancer. You know what? Some people will do that, and that's an amazing thing. But it's the little things that we do. It's the little ways that we change the world, the little things that we're doing a little bit different from everybody else that people make up and go, that's interesting. I should get to know that person. I should find a little bit more about what they're about. And it doesn't just go for people. It goes for businesses as well. You know what? You could be in a location and have a pizza shop, and your pizza shop could be around 17 other pizza shops. But the question is, why do they come to you? You know, you all put cheese, meat, and pizza sauce on dough. That's it. You know, Is it how you do the dough? Is it the type of dough that you use? Is it, you know, the fact that you sing songs while you're making the pizzas? It's the fact that your pizzas are 14 inches instead of 12 inches. Is it something, the fact that you put in coupons in your boxes? Is it the fact that you, you know, say thank you to every single person who actually orders a pizza from you? It's the little things that you can do that make your company different. And training your employees to sit there and say, it's not just me that has to do this. It's everybody. And if you're the leader, if you're the person that's leading the organization, it's installing those beliefs in everybody that works for you and works beside you to sit there and say, not only do we need to do this because this is what the company does, the question is why? Why do we do this? As an organization, we do this because of that. These are the reasons we do this. These are the type of customers that we treat, and this is the things that are important to them. And therefore, we're going to do this, this, and this in order to make sure that we take care of the people that are important to us and the people that are loyal to us and do the thing, you know, give us money for the services that we provide them. It's important. It's important that we differentiate ourselves. It's important that we understand how we differentiate ourselves. It's important that we understand who we differentiate ourselves for. You know, the world is starting to become more and more cookie cutter. It really, truly is. Where you're looking at it, you sit there and say, okay, why should I care about this company versus this company? Why should I care about this person versus this person? What are the things that make things different? You know, 12 years ago, I was, you know, walking to a customer, and it was a brand new customer, and I had just started the company. I didn't have a lot of money. And I built a website that was a cookie cutter website. It was this, you know, one of these buy for you websites that all you could do is you could change your logo in the top left hand corner and put a different phone number and address on the bottom right. Other than that, it looked like everybody else's website. And when I walked into this company, you know, they treated me well. They walked me around. They gave me all the information. They introduced me to everybody. And then the guys walked me up to the third floor to this beautiful boardroom where there was three monitors. And he turned the monitors on one by one. And in the middle was my website. And on the left and right were my competitors. That the sites looked exactly the same. We all looked exactly the same each other. And the first question out of his mouth was, why should I buy from you? If you all look the same, if you all buy from the same people, if you all have the same product, why should I care about you? What differentiates you? What makes you special? Why should I care about you and give you my money instead of giving it to one of these two people or somebody else for that matter? And 12 years ago, I couldn't answer that question because, you know, when you're looking at it, you're sitting there saying, you know what? You're right. I look and I feel and I smell exactly the same as everybody else. What makes me different? I could say something, but the proof is in the pudding. I look the same as everybody else. My website looks the same. My messaging is the same. My language is the same. You know what? There was nothing that said, you know what? This is why you should deal with Ben versus somebody else. And within 6 months, I had torn that website down. I had rebuilt my brand. I had put a brand new website up. I had changed my messaging. I had changed my business cards, my letterhead, et cetera, to a point where I could tell a story that differentiated myself. You know, I was able to sit there and say, you know what, this is why you should deal with me. And why people should deal with me is because I help them engage, retain, and grow their employees. I'm the person who comes in and consults, does the workshops, the keynotes, and allows them to understand how to move their business forward by building internal champions for their brand and getting people to care about their business from the inside. Because if your employees care about who you are, so will your customers. If your employees believe in where you are and where you're going, so will your customers. But if they don't, all you are is another commodity. You have no differentiation. You are the same as everybody else. And when you're the same as everybody else, all you can offer is a lower price. And what do you want to do that? Do you really want to sit there and fight with each other about being the lowest price out there? Do you want to save somebody 15% if you gave them 15 minutes? You know what? Differentiate yourself in a way that shows the value of who you are and how you're special and how you take care of your customers. Don't just be cheaper, because guess what? If you're cheaper today, somebody else will be cheaper tomorrow. And if they're cheaper tomorrow, that means you have to be even cheaper than them the day after that in order to keep your customers, let alone get new ones. And that's just a drive to the bottom. Differentiation says, you know what? These are the people that we serve. This is why we serve them. This is how we serve them. And this is why we can charge what we do, because these are the problems that we truly solve. If you can think in those modes, if you can talk in that way, you're going to be able to put yourself in a position where you can have a viable, long-term, profitable business for years and years to come. Now, let's take a break. Let's go out to commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Angus Reid and talk about the move from being a CFL superstar to bringing a business and differentiating himself. We'll be right back.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
And we're back, and I am so excited about having Angus Reid, you know, on the show. I watched Angus for years. Angus, it was a member of the BC Lions, you know, the British Columbia Lions, part of the Canadian Football League, you know, for years. And I was a fan sitting in the stands, rooting him on. And it is so exciting to have Angus on the show. Angus, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Ben. It's a real honor to have been asked.
You know what? I love your story. You know, it's the fact that, you know, you are the Iron Man. We're going to get into this. 11 years in the CFL on the offensive line. I can't even believe that you were able to do this and be able to survive it. You know, that you're not a cripple by this point in time and just hunched over waiting to die.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to believe that, because I actually played 13. I played two more seasons than you thought. I played
that. It was 13 years.
Yeah. Well, I think people get a little confused if they've read my book, because I had the same coach for 11 seasons, but I was in the league 2 years earlier. So yeah, 13 years in the offensive line, It's physically, mentally, psychologically, it's a wear down career. And I did it being the smallest physically in the league at my position. So, you know, I was fighting an uphill battle from the get go, being undersized in a position that basically cherished size, where that was the premium of what you thought you could do was to. Depended on how big you were and how strong you were as a human being. You know, I was always the smallest out there, and yeah, I found a way to do it for in what in football terms is a very long time.
Well, and let's unpack that, because that's, before we go into anything else, it's how did you get, you know, your spot on, you know, in the Canadian Football League? You're right. You're smaller than most offensive linemen. You're certainly, you don't have the wingspan. You don't have any of that type of thing that they look for when they're looking for an athlete. So what, first of all, you know, allowed you to succeed and thrive in that position for as long as you were, based on the fact that you just you know, you were smaller than most people in that area.
Yeah, and I mean, we can give your listeners a little bit of context. I don't know how many are savvy football fans, but you know, in kind of a 1 minute piece here, offensive linemen, I always tell people are generally the biggest athletes in the world, and you're looking at people that on average are about 6'4" to 6'6", maybe even 6'7". You know, these are guys that are 300 pounds just because they are, and some are up to 350 pounds because maybe they decide to lift a few weights. And that's just how big they are. I mean, they have you know, shoe sizes 15 to 17 and hands that can wrap around other people's hands. I mean, these are gigantic people. And when you look at businesses and careers, you know, usually you have a resume that makes companies take note, that makes right. you want you because of what you, the skills you supposedly have. And in the sports world, generally it's your body is your resume for most part. And so, you know, the more impressive you are with your size and your power with that size, but generally just the size itself, the better your resume is. That is your resume. And I'm, you know, I'm just over 6 foot. You know, my arms are kind of short. I'm 11 and a half size shoe. I'm an okay size guy for real world, but in the football terms, you know, I was well below entry level for what they want. I did everything I could though, through my younger days to basically do everything I could and not focus on things I couldn't do. I couldn't make myself taller. I couldn't make my arms longer. I couldn't make my feet bigger. So I poured all my energy, and I learned this at a young age as a teenager, you know, if you want to do something, do everything that you can. Don't waste 1 second of negative energy or time wishing you had something you didn't and wishing you were something you weren't and complaining and whining and you know, spending time in that place that you can do nothing about. So, you know, I made myself as strong as I possibly could because I could weightlift. I made myself as big as I could put into my body. So got myself up to 300 pounds, which, you know, in my frame, that was really packed in there, but it made myself heavy enough. And I knew that I just had to be enough on that initial resume. And I think listeners that have been successful in careers realize, you know, your resume just has to be enough to get in. And then once you're in, it's how you go about your business and how can you improve the team or the business that you're around will dictate how important you become to them. And that once you're in, the resume is meaningless now. So I had to just get in, and I you know, I worked really, really hard at. I was never a superstar at the high school level, at the college level. I was never the top prospect that they expected, but I kept pushing and I kept bringing everything I had to be good enough to go to the next level. Just get in. And I just made it to the pro level. And I got cut my first year by the Toronto Argonauts. And I got shipped off to the Montreal Alouettes, where I never played it down the whole season, but I was hanging on. And then I got shipped home to BC. And a lot of people don't know this. I played on three teams my first year, and I never played one down. I never even got in. Like, I was just hanging on. And my whole thought process was always, I need to just stay in the arena I want to be in, and I'll eventually get there if I just keep moving forward. But you got to stay in. And my resume of what I could do was always just enough to hang on. And then I needed to prove my worth through how I went about my daily business. And I was doing enough to hang on while I was getting better, while I was improving. And, you know, never for a moment did I sit back and feel sorry for myself or wish I had it easier. I had to focus on the next step, the next practice, the next opportunity to prove why I should get another opportunity. And I did that. And you know, my second year with the Lions, just held on, made the team. I was a backup, but every day focused on getting just a little bit better. And that's all I could do. And then my third year was when Coach Dan came in and Wally and the whole coaching regime. And I eventually got my opportunity, my third season to start. And I proved that I was able to bring something that helped the team win. And then I just every day keep getting better at the things that I can get better at. And that's, to me, how you put a career together. It's not about wishing you were the most talented and wishing you had all the stuff. It was always about every day, what can you do right now to improve what you can do? And what can you do to improve the team's or the company's success because you're there? And if you keep focusing on what can you bring to the team and how can you improve your abilities to bring more, you know, you've probably given yourself the best chance at them saying, we want this person around tomorrow. And you do that every day, you keep getting tomorrows. And that's, you know, I didn't plan a 13-year career. I planned the next day. every day. And and off we went. And you know, and then all these years later, it was, how did you do this? Well, I focused on what was right in front of me and what can I do to improve my ability to be better at that and to help, you know, the team by my presence. You know, I always thought that the greatest talent that you can portray is making things better because you're there. And sometimes they can put their finger on why, and sometimes they can't. But if you can always think to how can I make the environment I'm around, whether it's your team, your culture, your friends, better because you're there. And that's that whole concept of what can I bring to this instead of what am I getting out of this? What can I bring? You'll always get more, and you're always going to want people to want you around. And that was my whole thought process of, you know, every day, how can I make the team a little bit better because I'm here? And Ben, you know, people always big and they're like, I got to be the one scoring touchdowns, or in the sales thing, I got to be the one that's dry, you know, that has the biggest number. You got to be the one that is always helping touchdowns be scored or helping numbers drive. And that can be anywhere along that scale. If you are always doing that, if you are improving the bottom line somewhere, you're bringing tremendous value. And I also learned the more different parts of that scale that you can keep bringing value to, the more versatile you are, the more one important you become, because you become harder to replace by one person, because you're helping everywhere all the time. And, you know, you become so much more valuable because, you know, your diversity and your mindset is always, I'm just here to help wherever help needed right now. I will do it. It's not, you know, this is all I do and I'm great at this. Well, you know, you kind of pigeonhole yourself and you become replaceable because you bring one skill to the table. And you know, if that slips or that gets commoditized, you got to be careful. But if you keep your ability to just always making things better because you're there, and it's always variety of things at all times, you're become a pretty valuable person. And to me, anyone can do that. That's not a height or a speed or an IQ. That's a mindset of just looking around going, how can I help? How can I help here? And where's there gaps that nobody wants to fill or no one can see that needs to be filled? And I'll fill it. And, you know, you put together a career that way.
Yeah. And those are two valuable lessons that I really, you know, really admire. The first is to sit there and say, stop worrying about the things you can't do and focus on the things you can. Focus on, on the things you can control. And it doesn't matter if it's personally, as an athlete, in business, or whatever. The more you can focus on the things that you truly can, you know, influence, the better off you are. And the second one is, you know what? People that understand the entire business or the whole field or whatever analogy we want to do, people that understand not just their position or the thing that they do, they understand the business as a whole or the team as a whole, and sit there and say, okay, where are the holes? Where are the things that need are challenges? Time to step up. Those big people are the ones that get noticed. Those are the people that are appreciated. Those are the people that differentiate themselves. Because if we can do those things, all of a sudden we understand far more than just what we are tasked to do. We understand the business as a whole, and we become more valuable. So my question to you is, how did football, you know, because, you know, as you and I have talked off air, you know, it's really do or die every single day. You know, there is no second chance. How did football instill those skills in you to be able to sit there and say, okay, see where the holes are, fix it really quickly?
Exactly for what you just said, because if you want to do this tomorrow, you better be doing everything today to ensure you have tomorrow. And you learn very quickly, just like any entrepreneur learns very quickly, or someone in a sales role where you only get paid if you perform. You know, anyone that's in a career that it's perform or go home, and there's no safety net, and there's no, you know, there's no contract that's going to take care of you no matter what. You learn very quickly to do whatever it takes. And coming back to your initial point of focus on what you can do and not what you can't do, Ben. You know, so many people get caught up in their head and they worry about things that they can't control. And, you know, life only changes with action. and you can only take action on something that you have control of. And so everything else is just a waste of energy. So you focus, you look around for what needs to be done, and you know what you're capable of doing and what you're not. And you take what you can do and you fill those gaps that need to be filled. And you haven't guaranteed anything, but you've upped your probability of helping the team improve or by either A, moving them forward, or at least filling a gap that doesn't let them slide back. And you might not get noticed that first time. And that's not what it's about. It's about the consistency of always doing that. And you don't have no idea of which action that you've gone out of your way to do something extra will change the dimension of the game or change the momentum of practice or save something that no one saw from falling apart. And again, it's not about being noticed, being notoriety. It's about over time, the pattern developing that this person's always stepping up and taking care of things that we either saw or didn't see. And that creates value. And then again, it's just a mindset. And coming back to your point, Ben, about, the ability to build your own career and become noticed. Also, if you want to move up the ranks and ever become a leader, I'm learning a lot more now about, and I saw it in the sports world, but I see it in the business world now, where people super specialize in what they know and they become very good at that. And all the way up to leaders. I mean, you see this, people know how to be a CEO. They know how to be a leader, but you look at the really, really great ones. They know how to do every single position in the company.
They know how to sweep the floor.
They know how to sweep. And because you know what? The great ones probably did at some point.
Yeah.
And they're still not afraid to, if there's dust on the floor, they'll pick up the broom and sweep it. Why? Because that's a gap that needs to be filled. And a leader is always looking to they're doing what I try to do. Like, where can I help to make the team move forward? It's not how can I make sure I'm patting myself in the back. It's where do I need to help? And it's one thing to see the opportunity and to talk about, what is it? Greatness happens or something when opportunity meets preparation. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you're not constantly expanding your ability to do a variety of things, there might be opportunities all over the place, but you have no preparation to fill them. So if you're always looking to do other things and always engaging in helping here and there and learning more about all the roles and jobs around you, well, there'll be a lot more opportunities that you didn't see before, and you'll have a lot more preparation to fill them, which gives you a ton more chances to prove value, which gives you a lot more opportunities to be of value, which is going to elongate your career, which is going to, you know, make you more valuable to bring in more money. And in the long run, I think, is going to give you a lot more confidence to not be scared that you can only do this. And what happens if this gets changed or this gets moved? I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And again, that's just a choice to get out of your comfort zone, stop super specializing and thinking you're so good at one thing, and pull back and say, listen, my job is to do whatever it takes to improve the environment that I've decided to be in. And that could be anything at any given time. And you're constantly looking at it, trying, seeing how to do it, learning more about yourself, learning more skills, which creates more opportunities. And you have more preparation to fill them, and all of a sudden life just becomes an oasis of chances to improve, instead of pigeonholing yourself to, well, I only have this and I only have to do this, and if it's not there, what am I supposed to do? And that's a real victim way to play, that a lot of people put themselves in that box, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, too many people say, well, I'm never going to be an accountant. I don't need to understand the accounting function of the company. You know, I'm never going to be on the production line, so I don't need to understand what goes on the production line. You know what? The more, you don't need to be a specialist. You don't need to be able to do that job every single day. But if you can understand how the company works from different people's point of view, or a team works from different people's point of view, the more empathy you have for these people, the more you understand how you can help them do their job better. You don't have to be an expert in what they're an expert in, but you at least have to be able to understand it enough to sit there and say, okay, this is where I can pitch in. This is where I can help. This is how I can make their lives easier. And if everybody within a company or an organization or a sports team or whatever understands that it's not just about them, it's not about their success, it's about the team's success. And how do we succeed together, and that we're stronger together? The better organizations are, the longer they last, the more valuable they are, both internally and also to their customers. So I have a question for you, because you made this transition, and to me, that's got to be a really hard transition from being on the field with 30, 40, 50,000 fans screaming your name, you know, all the cheers and accolades, to all of a sudden the cheering stops. And you need to move on and do something else.
Right.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it's maybe there is no, well, I'm sure there are other extremes, but I think transitioning from pro sports to, let's say, the business world or normal world, it would be right at the top with a few other profession swings that are maybe as different as you could ever imagine. I mean, there's a few other ones that are that extreme.
I think of military civilian life is comparable.
That was the one. That was the one I was probably going to put maybe even above. You know, you go into real battle, that's a different world, okay? And I can't speak on that, but I can only imagine that extreme. But I'd put pro sports up there in that space, where, particularly if it's all you've ever done. With most pro athletes, it is all they've ever done. They've been a star since they were teenagers, and they went to university, and they went to pro. So it's not like they're aware of the other life. It's a totally different world. I mean, we've lived our life in this little bubble of, you know, your job is to just work out, train, and then show up, and coaches coach you, and you perform, and athletically, right? And you didn't have to – there's a big danger, and I speak a lot about this, that I worry about pro sports now, where – you know, 20, 30 years ago, they always talked about being an athlete was a great way to prepare for real life. You know, taught you a lot of things you needed to be able to mentally handle real life. But I think we're losing that, because pro sports now, or sports in general, is so what they do for players is pretty much everything. And you just have to perform. You just show up, and your whole year is just booked into little scheduling, and you don't have to think anything through. You don't have to manage your day. It's all taken care of for you, and you just show up and perform. They just want to remove all the parameters and things that other people have to deal with, and just say, no, we need you to focus on performance, which is great until you leave. And we can talk about the emotional side of, you know, where's the fans, where's the adrenaline rush, where's the game. But there's also the practical aspect of what do I do with my day, particularly if you get into a business setting where you're either an entrepreneur or you're in sales, or you're in sort of a self-starter mode. And I've had a coach, and I've had a general manager, and I've had an equipment manager, and I've had a trainer. I don't have to think about that stuff. I just show up at the office, and the 6 months were mapped out for me. And all I had to do was show up, and there's what you do. Do it really well. Okay. And now it goes, okay, now go create your life. And, you know, I was 37, and I always kind of thought of myself as kind of outgoing and entrepreneurial spirit, but I'd never been tasked with plan your year, plan your day. I didn't plan my days. I had a map, you know, football. Here's your next 6 months down to the hours. Yeah. All you had to do was perform. And that's a big gap. I mean, that's forget the no game, no crowd, no adrenaline. It's, I got to learn how to do this. I what happened to the coach just told me what to do. And that's a different world. And so, you know, it was trial by error for me. I knew I wanted to get away from sports. I was 37, and I thought I could have stayed in it, even on the media side or in public relations. But I made a conscious decision that I wanted to expand who I was. I wanted to challenge myself again. And I might be in the minority here, but I wanted to go be a nobody and be a rookie again in a different arena and prove. Well, it was important for me. I needed to prove to myself that I could do something other than being a pro, being an athlete. And that was just something I needed to do, because I thought, if I can prove that, then I can go back to sports if that's what I really wanted to do, and get into coaching and stuff. But if I decided to get right into coaching, I would never know for sure. Did I do it because I was scared of the other world? Like, did I hide? Did I hide in sports because it was comfortable, because everyone knew me and I was already somebody, and I didn't want to live my life wondering, did I do this for the right reason? So I decided to leave and get into the business world. And, you know, I didn't know what industry, and I didn't know a ton about anything, but I knew my strength was relationships I'd built, credibility, and the confidence to engage people and stimulate conversations and, you know, work hard, build trust. And so I looked at a bunch of industries, and I was doing a lot of speaking at the time, just being a pro athlete, talking on all the things that, that businesses love to hear from athletes, perseverance and competitiveness and work ethic and all this stuff. And I had an opportunity to get into the commercial insurance world and become kind of a broker on that side, where you're looking to take care of businesses and looking to take care of their risk management and insuring them and making sure that they're doing everything they need to be taken care of. And it's been great. It's been 5 years. It's been a huge learning curve. I've been very, very fortunate to be with a firm that didn't try to shove me into a cookie cutter sales role, that realized who I was. I was a 37-year-old guy with a ton of skills in one area and lacking a ton of technical skills in another area, and worked with me to fill my gaps and accentuate my strengths. And they're brilliant, like I think everyone else needs to be, where you build on your strengths and not spend the whole time just trying to fill weaknesses. Build on strengths and make sure you have enough of the weaknesses, so you have enough. Like my resume of height and size and speed, I had enough. You just need enough. And then you got to play to your strengths, like I heard you speak about or the beginning of your uniqueness. You know, build your strengths and make sure that your weaknesses are enough. And I've had a great time. You know, my life now is about building relationships, solving problems for people, earning their trust, and building a client base. And I can tell you one thing that's different. I never knew what residual income was before.
Right.
Being a pro athlete was about perform, win a championship, be an all-star. Tomorrow, who cares? If you don't do it today, you're gone. Nobody cared what you did yesterday. Now it's a fascinating world where you're able to build something that as long as you keep watering the grass well, it grows. It's always growing. It's there. And, you know, you can take care of clients that you have some ownership of and you have responsibility of. And it's finally yours. Where football, you know, you do everything you can to help the team and bring what you can to the table, but you have no ownership of anything. You know, anything can change in a moment. My knee could blow out. Ownership could change. Coaching staff could change. And they just have different people. And you had no ability to change that. I did what I could to make my 13 years a reality. And again, like we said, you focus on what you can do. But all that could have changed in a heartbeat for a variety of reasons that were out of my control. There was still luck that got played in that. I never wished for luck. I focused on what I could do, but that was always part of the equation. And in the business world, though, sure, there's still luck, but you have a little bit more control of your parameters, because, you know, you can dictate how hard you want to go at this, and no coach is going to cut you. Ideally, your knee or in your shoulder isn't going to be the limiting factor of you building business relationships and servicing clients. And I'll be honest too, you talk about the game and the fans and the cheering. It's nice. Maybe I'm lucky. I didn't need that. I enjoyed it, but I didn't need it. I know some players do, and that's
a lot of people do. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. Maybe I'm fortunate. What I did love the competitive juices of competing and being uncertain of victory. So, you know, there's that. What did someone tell me before? It doesn't count if you can't lose.
Right.
That's like, you know, like people think, well, they made this big deal happen, but if it was already a guarantee, it doesn't count. If you're not placing yourself in situations where there's uncertainty of victory, it's not real. And that's why football was so real, because you win or lose. There's no spin statement to make it sound better tomorrow unless it sounds like, well, we actually came out on top. No, you lost. And that was always nice to me. It was you beat your person or you did.
Yeah,
it was very black and white in a world that's pretty gray nowadays. We can kind of talk around and make it sound like a win-win when it's lost, and people get confused. But I like that. And in business sense, it's kind of the same in the world you're in. You either win the client or you don't. And to me, I equated everything I learned from football and the love of planning for the opponent and planning how are you going to win this game and how are you going to bring everything you can to give yourself the best probability of victory. To me, that's transferable, right? You're looking at, I want to win this client. I want to service them well. And you plan it like a game. You know, we watch game film, but all we're really doing is gathering intel and information and going, how can I utilize everything that's out there to give myself the best probability to win at what I'm engaging in? And that's an adrenaline rush that I love. And it's the same thing. And you ideally build a team around yourself where we map out how we're going to do this. And you give your best effort, your very best, and you lean on people that you trust and to help you win. And then you go play the game, like you go compete to win. And you either win or you don't. And if you win, you get that nice celebration. And then you also then study from what went well, what could have been improved. And you get ready for your next game. And if you lose, you do the exact same thing like we did in sports. You kind of watch the game film with other people and you review
what went right, what went wrong, what could I have done differently, and you learn from it. And so, you know, I guess I was fortunate that I didn't need football for the aggressive side. I mean, I didn't mind it, contact, but I didn't.
Sure.
I don't need an outlet to go hit people. That I'm just not. That's not me. Some people do, and that's why they still. I don't know. They wrestle, or they do MMA when they fight, or they do these some sort of outlet for that physical release. I mean, I was good with contact, but I don't crave it. So to me, it was the competing, learning tactics, learning skills, doing everything you can to win, always trying to get better at what you're engaged in, and that transfers.
Those are transferable skills.
Right. And that's where I keep coming back to when I speak to coaches, particularly youth coaches. It's like, what are we trying to teach kids here? At the end of the day, whether they play sports till they're 15 or they're 35, they better have learned something that they can take with them. Mm-hmm. And how to shoot a wrist shot or how to shoot a three-point basketball. That's not going to go anywhere. And granted, that's needed to win the game, but there's lessons within learning how to do those things that transfer. You know, the attention to detail, the self-reflection of what you're actually doing to get better. You know, the review, the taking objective feedback, or you know, the way to deal with the truth of where you're at and the gaps that need to be filled, and then filling them. You know, whether that's to improve your wrist shot or to meet a block somebody or shoot a free throw, a three pointer. It's how you go about improving that skill and attacking it and getting better at it and reviewing it. That transfers, but unless you address it like that, they don't realize they've learned anything. They just get better shooting. They get better at blocking somebody. And a lot of athletes, no matter how successful they got, if they didn't realize that they really have learned how to improve at life and how to get better and how to deal with stress, and if they don't know that, you see a lot of them think that they're kind of worthless when they're done. And it's sad because they think all I can do is run and jump and hit and shoot. They can do a lot more, but if coaches haven't taught them what they've taught them, for lack of a better phrase, there's a lot of these athletes that are the most confident people in the world, and I've seen them, the confidence drop because they're looking around going, well, all I know how to do are these sports things.
Right.
And so it's on the coaches, I think, again, to one, show them or teach them how to learn, not just show them how to do it, but teach them how to learn how to do it, because then they know how to learn how to do anything. Hey, you know how to get better at something, you know how to get better at anything. It's the same process, right? It doesn't matter. And it's understanding that I know the steps it's going to take to realize where I want to get to, deal with the truth of where I am, and then use coaches or people around me to help fill in the gap of what I need to do to get there, and then systematically do it, review it, adapt, go back, do it, review it, adapt, go back. And then you either get there, you don't, and you're always reviewing where you're at and filling the gaps. If you realize that's how you go about becoming a better athlete, same way as, you know, Ben, you go about becoming better anything.
That's right. Well, listen, let's transition, because we only have about a minute or two left. I want to make sure that we get in, you know, a quick 30-second plug about your book. Tell me, you know, about your book really quickly, so we can make sure that we don't miss that.
Sure. My book is called Thank You, Coach. Subtitle is Learning How to Live by Being Taught How to Play. It is the story of my 11-year relationship with my offensive line coach, Dan D'Orazio, during my years at the BC Lions. And really, it's a book about thanking him for all he did in terms of teaching me life through coaching me football, which is what I speak a lot about. And it's a great book for, if you're a sports fan, sure. I wanted to write a book, though, that was beyond a sports tale. And it was really a leadership book on how great coaches and how great leaders impact the people they work with. How can they change people's lives? And it was written from my perspective of a life that had been changed from a great coach. And so, you know, whether you are a sports coach or a leader in any organization or a parent or anyone of in any level of influence, this book will let you know, or will remind you of the impact you're making on the people and how you go about leading them, coaching them, advising them, or just dealing with them in general, and how powerful everything you do with that person is in terms of shaping the rest of their life. And so whether it's sports, business, whether it's, you know, the kid's 12 or 25 or 35, your interaction as a coach, as a leader, as an influencer is shaping their life. And the question is, are you shaping it positively or negatively? Are you using sports to teach something bigger than just winning games? And I was fortunate to have a guy do that. So that's why I thought it was important to write it.
Perfect. And people can find that book on your website and all the information about you on angusreid64.com?
Correct, yeah. R-E-I-D. angusreid64.com, yeah.
angusreid64.com. And it is. It's a great read. And, you know, if you're looking for someone to sit there and you do some really great keynote addresses on, you know, business process, on how to use, you know, what he learned in sports in order to how that transfer over to business, you know, Angus, you're great for that. I've heard you speak a couple of times and you're absolutely amazing for that. And I think that anybody that hears you would absolutely love to have you come and speak to their organization.
Well, appreciate that. And I'd love to be there. Yeah. And it's been enjoyable sharing sports stories that actually relate to life outside of the field. So I'd love to do it. Thank you.
All right. Angus, hey out the green room. We're going to go up a commercial. I'm going to come back. I'm going to say goodbye to all my guests, and then we're going to shut it down for another week.
Got it. Thanks again for having me on, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Angus.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
Welcome back to the show. And Angus was a phenomenal guest. I really appreciate having him on the show. You know, just so everybody has it, it's angusreid64.com. I'll make sure that it's in the show notes so people can grab it when they go to iHeart or SoundCloud or iTunes, wherever they go on Friday, to be able to download it. It will be sitting there waiting for you. But I wanted to let you guys know about a couple things that are happening to me. One, I have been shortlisted. I haven't been accepted yet, but I'm on the shortlist. And we go for our final interview on Saturday for a TEDx here in Vancouver. And I will hopefully be able to announce next week whether I've been accepted of that or not. We're doing things on effective communication. And I'm really excited about that and want to be able to provide that for everybody. Number two, it looks like the month of August or early September, it hasn't been finalized yet. I'm going to be heading to Australia. My executive assistant is working on a speaking and workshop tour on Australia for me, and I couldn't be more excited about that. And there's also talk about me going to Trinidad and Tobago to be able to do something similar. So I'm excited about those three opportunities. If you want me to come out and work with your organization, be able to help you engage, retain, and grow your employees, and be able to have them become champions of your brand, get in touch with me. You can always reach me through yourbrandmarketing.com. I'd love to have that conversation with you, find out more about your business and how we can help you build the champions of your organization and build leaders at every level. Now, everybody, this is the Your Living Brand.live show. This show is all about, what's your story? What do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? How do you differentiate yourself? How do you separate yourself from the crowd? How do you do those little special things that make you different from somebody else? And you need to think about it. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It doesn't have to be there's something that's novel and new. It needs to be something that is uniquely you, something that you do that your competitors do not, something that you believe in that your competitors are not, a way that you articulate the way that somebody does not. And you just need to sit there and think about it. What are the things, the little things that make me different? It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It just has to be something that people could say, I go to this company because they do this. You know what? They always answer the phone on the second ring. I've never put into voicemail hell. When I send somebody an email, they always get back to me. When they promise me they're going to do something, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a matter of understanding. Those are the things that people sit there and say, you know what? I trust this person because. Now, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Look forward to seeing everybody next week. Enjoy your week, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Have a great week and talk to you soon.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?